Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show here on the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Oh boy, this is a different kind of program. Buckle your seat belts. You know, the news cycle is so fast, but it's sometimes just hard to keep up. And sadly, due to some conflicts, I'm having to do this program about a day and a half earlier than I normally do. So if I miss an assassination attempt, Taylor Swift going down in a plane crash and dying, whatever, I'm sorry. You know, I just, the program was done before those events. Before we roll, though, I do, a few of you get this program before I will be speaking in Las Vegas this coming Saturday, the 7th. That's Saturday, not Sunday, the 7th at Broken Bridge Ministries. Some of you get this program Saturday morning. Some of you get it on Sunday, too late. Some get it on Friday in time, if you would like to come out. Love to see you and meet you at Broken Bridge Ministries. That's 2 p.m. 2 p.m. at 2525 North Decatur in Las Vegas, Nevada. 2525 North Decatur, Las Vegas. Most people hearing this program from around different spots in the United States obviously couldn't come anyway, but those are the different times in Las Vegas where different people get the program by different methods and by which you may hear this in time to get the announcement and respond, and I hope you do. I think you're going to really appreciate the message. I did announce this last week, and hopefully you put it on your calendar. So, we're going to start out, you know, start out with something a little bit different. There are times when everything is so intense and we're there. I mean, right now things are so tense and intense that I go to the Word, I pray, I read through the, particularly in the Old Testament, dealing with prophecies about nations that turn its back on God, like Israel did, and like we are doing, that absent national repentance, there doesn't seem to be really much hope. We read in the New Testament how we are to respond as individuals in trying times, and more on that in the future. But there's one other thing God has given us that is, I'm noticing, is particularly useful when things are this tense and intense. And that is a sense of humor. I'm serious. God knows that in addition to everything else, there are times when things need to be lightened up, a bit of levity, if you will. In fact, I was discussing with my wife the other day, I said, you know, what is it in the human brain that causes one person to think something is hilarious and another person doesn't get it? But why comedy clubs are so popular and why it's okay if it's clean comedy. It's good to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, it says in the Word. And there's a certain measure of release in the body that occurs when you are having a particularly good time that may involve a lot of humor. And maybe that is why, while I've been a big fan of the Babylon Bee, if you've listened to this program at all, you know I've been pushing that thing for 6-7 years back when they were a nothing, and now they're a pretty big deal. Well, I still read them for my comic relief. It's satire. They're used, they tell you, they describe themselves as fake news you can trust. What they're saying isn't true in the objective sense of the word. But satirically, it's absolutely true. It's an art form. A good satire is an art form. So on today's headline in there, there's a picture of Tim Wall's dog. Of course, it's photoshopped. He's standing at the podium, and he's got a hat on and he's got a shirt on, and the caption is, "Wall's dog Scout endorses Donald Trump," which isn't really particularly alarming in the sense that there are more and more people of Wall's family who've come out and said, "This guy's a loser. No way, Jose, should you be voting for this guy." And while I didn't have a good news piece per se to start this, I guess it certainly should include the fact that Walls is getting subpoenaed by the House because of a massive fraud claims and the misuse of the COVID-19 funds in Minnesota. Of course, the left is saying, "Oh, this is political. It's political. It's law." Well, come on. You know what? This is, you know, this is what they've been doing for the last 3 years. It's about time the conservatives started taking left-wing tactics and doing it. The fact of the matter is, there's truth here. There is truth here. Of course, they don't pursue Biden because of his illegal document thing, but they go after Trump. We don't have a two-tiered system of justice. We just have a one-tiered that's entirely left-wing. So when things get bad, you turn to some level of humor. And I'm going to just throw a couple of others. Check it out. Babylon B. If you need to know how to spell Babylon, B-A-B-Y-L-O-N, B. The other one, in fact, I think I got two here. Then we're going to get on to some pretty doggone serious stuff. And some of the stuff is so serious, you'll know why we started out with a little measure of levity. This headline from earlier today was, "Walt Disney World updates Hall of Presidents by placing President Biden in a beach chair." And they show a picture, obviously photoshopped. They got Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln up there, in the animatronics where they speak and they move, something Walt Disney World is very, very famous for, kind of a cool deal. But in the front, there's Joe. They've got him positioned in a beach chair with his hands behind his head, and he's sleeping. This is a piece. I just want to read it to you. "The Hall of Presidents attraction at Walt Disney World Resort has been updated with a more realistic Joe Biden animatronic that is vacationing while asleep in a beach chair." Now, I'm going to insert here something else from the Babylon Bee just a couple days ago. This is where the satire hits home. It's so truthful in the sense, but it's said in a way that's objectively not true. And they indicated that Joe Biden leaves his Delaware beach home to vacation in Washington, D.C. at the White House. Obviously, you see the satire. There's truth to it, not objectively, but the point is what? He vacations more than he does his job. He's a major loser. Okay, back to the article. Quote, "When people think Biden, they think of an elderly man relaxing on a Delaware beach somewhere while the world burns," said Disney CEO Robert Iger. "We are proud of this true-to-life likeness. The Imagineers," those are the ones who put these animatronics together, "reportedly visited President Biden and recorded real audio of him snoring for this attraction. The lifelike animatronics were also updated to allow for a sitting position." Quote, "It was actually really easy," said Imagineer Dirk Vantum, on the work that went into the update. "We just laid him back in a beach chair. We actually spent some time deactivating most of his animatronics. So now he just sits there, seemingly dead, except for the rise and fall of his abdomen to show that he's breathing." At the attraction's grand opening, fans gushed when they saw the reimagined Joe Biden in action. Said one pass holder, Steph Demetria, "Wow! He doesn't do anything, just like the real president." Oh, my gosh. And then the last one. Democrats are considering replacing Kamala Harris with Joe Biden. I'll tell you, it just, Google hates a Babylon Bee. YouTube hates a Babylon Bee because they're trying to claim it's fake news. It's satire. Of course, they don't know what satire. Well, they know what satire is. They just cannot acknowledge the fact that all the real good satire deals with Democrats these days. Okay. Sorry, whatever levity you got out of that is over. And now we move on to the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, this first story, I don't even know which one's the most important, but I guess this next one is. We're down to Cammy Harris, the cackling hyena. And in fact, I got to insert this. I got a call from a radio listener in California who wanted to know if I knew of anybody who could help him do something technologically that he's not quite up to yet. He thinks because I do this program, I'm somehow technologically astute. I'm a techno dunce. My son puts most of this together. I mean, I can know how to do a few things. Beyond that, no way. Just give me the microphone. Let me talk. I can't figure out the rest of the stuff. But what he wants to, he noticed something that the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz was played by a woman by the name of Margaret Hamilton. Margaret Hamilton played the Wicked Witch of the West. And he said he could not believe how close the Wicked Witch of the West laugh was to the cackle of Cammy Harris. And so what he's trying to do, and I said, boy, get on it and get this thing out, was to do this thing which shows an evolution by sound and video. You see the Wicked Witch of the West, and she slowly morphs into Cammy Harris, and the Wicked Witch of the West laugh slowly morphs into the cackle of Kamala Harris, Cammy Harris. That's a brilliant idea. And there's a bunch of this stuff out there and more of it. But when she came out the other day and said, is she a communist? Without question. If she wins, it's over. If she loses, it might be over because the left will be beside itself with Trump as president. We will have a civil war. Not because we have started it, the people on the right. It's because the left will start it. With the riots and so forth, the people on the right will say, we'll leave. And I have something that's going to blow you away toward the end of this program about who said what. This is a very esteemed law school dean that said something that I started saying first 15 years ago on the air as being inevitable in the United States. So you don't want to miss it. But Harris, she states that, what program is she on here? I can't even think what program she was on. But she came out and said, she was on CNN with Jake Tapper. And Harris, speaking of Elon Musk, said, quote, he has lost his privileges and he should be taken down. In other words, you've lost your right to speak. Why? Because I don't like what you're saying. Oh, it's misinformation, it's disinformation. No, Elon is allowing free speech, but Cammy Harris can't stand free speech. And here's the proof that this woman is a card-carrying communist witch, which rhymes with another word. I'll let you supply it. Quote, they, meaning X, are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop. End quote. Website, www.kamalaharriswhatever.com. As I said, the www stands for the Wicked Witch of the West. But I want to read this again. You cannot have something more communistic than this statement. She says, my values haven't changed. You know what? She's telling the truth there. Her values haven't changed. What has changed? All of her lies. All of her lies. Oh, she's for fracking now? As the great American Vivek Ramaswamy pointed out the other day. He was researching Kamala Harris, California's attorney general, sued the Obama administration to stop fracking. You see, if one half of the truth were learned, other than the really, really, really stupid people, which seem to dominate a good portion of this country, majority, I don't know. I guess we'll find out November 5th. But if half the truth were known about this woman, she would not be on the ticket. And Tampon Tim, Mr. AWOLS, wouldn't be there either. Praise God he's getting subpoenaed for his massive fraud of COVID-19 funds in Minnesota. But I'm going to read this again. Tell me who would support this statement. Quote, they are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation, and that has to stop. I'll tell you who would support that. Hitler, Maduro, Castro would have, Stalin, all your communists. What she's saying is there is no place in this country for the First Amendment unless what you're saying coincides with what I believe, then you're free to say anything with which I agree. But if I don't agree with it, millions and millions of people, there's no oversight or regulation. Cammie, you witch, why on earth would we ever have to go to you to get permission from your stinking fornicating body? That's how you got into politics with Willie Brown. You fornicated your way into office. Why would anybody go to you for permission to say what the Constitution says we have a right to say? But if it has to stop, that tells you what she's about. Government control of everything. And honestly, if she's elected, oh, I want to see a secession so badly. And we're preparing for it, which I'll touch on just a little bit later in the program. One thing I did just yesterday to prepare for it. So, of course, X has been banned in Brazil because Brazil now hates free speech. Anybody that hates free speech is going to vote for Kamala Harris. They want complete control. Elon Musk upset the apple cart. I mean, goodness gracious. You know, the guy's all over the place on some issues, but he's so right on the ones for which God created him and made him the wealthiest man on this earth. To support Donald Trump and free speech. It's one and the same here. Well, she's such a fake. She's such a fraud. She's such a liar. That actually brings up another Babylon Bee. It was beautiful. It was thing. When I heard the other day Harris's bogus accent, bogus black accent, I'll tell you all you got, whatever. I mean, she's actually making fun of blacks in her overdoing an alleged black accent, but the blacks were eating it up. I mean, goodness sakes, I got like, come on, people. Can't you see that she's playing you like a violin? So what did the Babylon Bee say about it? This was before that speech, which I think was, I don't even remember where it was, Pittsburgh or someplace. Harris visits Hillary Clinton for tips on how to improve her black accent. Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? Hillary was faking it like she could talk, jive talk. Harris, who doesn't, but now she's trying to reinvent herself as somebody from the hood when she thinks that's what's necessary. Are people this stupid to be played that easily? Maybe so. I don't know. I don't even want to get into the debate or the interview from last week. It's a waste of time. In my opinion, I mean, what I saw and heard of it, I mean, Harris was a child at the adult table. She's this little munchkin, and she's got her support dog next to her, otherwise known as temp on Tim Walz. And the program was pre-recorded. It was edited. And then CNN has the guts, the audacity to put while it's being aired that it was live. Total lie. CNN, Communist News Network, they just do the bidding. I mean, we've said that about CNN for a long time, but it's never been more true than it is today. My goodness sakes. So, enough of that. We're going to get to the next important piece, and it deals with the consequences of her election in just one respect. I've said I think we'll have secession. It's the end of the United States. I have some tips and advice for you when we get to the end of the program, how to prepare for this. But among the deaths of yet more children in the womb, among the deaths of more kids' spiritual and emotional well-being because all the queer and tranny crap that this woman from the pit of hell, this Jezebelian witch, advocates, and Tim Walz, her little munchkin dog, who in that interview is towering over her like Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Well, anyway, there's going to be another death. There's going to be the death of America. And I will tell you why, in addition to all the other things that are being destroyed, sexual normalcy, marriage normalcy, family honor, patriotism, our Constitution, biblical values, private schools, homeschools, all the things that the Democrats will go after because they are possessed by the devil. The devil has only ever wanted one thing. What? Control. That's what they want. But sitting on top of the sea of sin that will be the culminating point in the death of America if she is elected will be the complete and ultimate abandonment of Israel. Look, you know, God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse them. We've been a blessed nation because nobody has stood by Israel more than the United States since its inception. It was what Harry Truman, 1948, considered his greatest role, greatest achievement, if you will, in his participation in the creation of the nation of Israel. And so that's what we have as our history. It's not what we have as our future, necessarily. We've been drifting more and more. I mean, it's just a short period. First of all, Jews don't have many kids. Muslims have gazillions, especially with multiple wives. So it's not long before there are far more Muslim kids in the country, including all of them, that are just simply walking across the border and getting a fake ID to vote for Harris in the election. Because after all, the Muslims want Harris. Guess what? Russia wants Harris. China wants Harris. What does that tell you? When the enemies of the United States want Harris, well, we're in for a battle royale. But the death of America is uniquely associated as its culminating point with the ultimate and complete abandonment of the nation of Israel. Now, Israel will do a lot, but will do fine. They'll survive. The fact of the matter is, Israel can survive without us. We will not survive without Israel. It's that big of a deal. And when we go, we'd go like the other nations. We'll just go into a weak socialist/communist state, a nothing nation. We'll be increasingly like China, Russia, Cuba, Venezuela. I mean, the only thing keeping us from being an official banana republic is that the United States is too far north to grow bananas. That's the only thing keeping us, or will be. So it's interesting, you know, the Muslims say from the river to the sea, but the scriptures say from the sea to the river. Isn't that interesting? God's promise in giving the promised land to the Jews was from the sea to the river. In other words, it was from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. God outlined that which was to belong to Israel. They obviously didn't occupy it, but the Muslims taking everything that God has said and seemingly flipping it around in reverse, they go from the river to the sea. Only the elimination of Israel and the elimination of Jews will satisfy them. Personally, the only thing that satisfies me is the elimination of Gaza, elimination of Palestine, and the complete acculturation, assimilation, and absorption of the entirety of the West Bank into Israel. It belongs to them, and they just simply need to occupy it. Let Joey Corn Pop Biden and No Brains Cacklin' Hyena Harris say whatever they want. Do you think that they are out? Do you think they're on Netanyahu's side? No. They're pushing Netanyahu to concede on all sorts of things in the Hamas-Gaza deal because why? One and only one thing. Because these two political hucksters, Biden and Harris, are now Harris and Walls, dumb and dumber, only one thing are they concerned about: winning. And what they want to be able to say is that they brought peace to the Middle East. And so I have to say, somewhat selfishly, but for the hopes of Donald Trump being elected, that in the next 2 months we are going to see significantly more turbulence yet in the Middle East. Netanyahu is God's man on the job. Who cares about the protests in Israel? You want to get back your hostages. I understand it. But in doing so, you're just going to let Hamas, you'll let Hezbollah, you'll let Iran, Sudan, all the others that have participated, you're just going to let them lay out the next play of intimidation, the next blackmail. All it does, weakness doesn't provide peace. Weakness invites further attack. Ask the descendants of Neville Chamberlain and any historian. When you compromise on non-compromisables, you cave in on non-negotiables. You turn in and you turn in your creds, as they say, as a person of honor and faith, and exchange it as a compromising weenie on things, and you give in to a power. Neville Chamberlain, it was Hitler. Do you think the left respects humility from somebody who is weak and on the right? Of course not. They despise it. They just thought, great, here's another doormat we can trample. Well, you know where I stand on that issue. We've got a break coming up here. I'm going to come back and quickly review something I started at the end of last week's program, but I need to finish it, and it's basically steps to prepare for a Harris presidency. But honestly, the evil that this woman represents, without changes almost beyond my imagination, we need to prepare for it at some point anyway. Because if Trump is elected in 4 years, he's done and gone. And unless by some act of God we end up with Ramaswamy as president, then it's over. So when's it going to end? We've been on a downhill slide for 50 to 60 years. We've only had bumps of enlightenment, bumps of rest and peace, little periods here. And then it goes back to the same old, but worse and at a greater speed. So steps to prepare for a cami presidency on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, what a prophetic song that is. Something in the air. Because a revolution is near. Something is near. Very, very near. Okay, these 8 steps to prepare Kamala Harris, or prepare for Kamala Harris presidency, which I gave you last week from Patrice Lewis, who I very much regard. And I went through them quickly, but I didn't get through the ones that I added. And I didn't get through... how I was really wanting to change and massage what she said. So I want to give her due credit. And I'm going to go through these quickly, other than for the ones that I want to alter a bit, add to, and then 2 particular things she did not mention that are of ridiculously important concern to you and to me. Okay? She said, 1, to stay informed. And that's what part of this program is about. I'm here to encourage people, but also to inform people. I mean, if the left, 94% of journalists vote Democrat? 94. The other 6% are in hiding if they're at the alphabet networks, or they work for Newsmax and a few of them for Fox and so forth. And then there's all the ones that are out there doing podcasts like myself, all the schmoes that are doing whatever we possibly can to get as much information into the hands of the people who are not going to suck up to the left-wing, otherwise known as the mainstream media. So you need to stay informed. Read sources like the World Net Daily. The World Net Daily will take you to some other sources as well. And read them. Try to vet what you do read so that you can speak authoritatively to others about it and pass it on. 2, she talked about cultivating multiple income sources. I fully agree with this. I think I mentioned that I'm licensed in California and Michigan, but to spread the basis upon which I geographically can earn income, headquartered here in Arizona, I've decided to apply to the Arizona Supreme Court for admission into the state of Arizona so I can handle Arizona cases. Most notably, if you're listening here in Arizona, is helping people and going to court to get their gun rights returned to them that have been taken away. It'll be needed, as you'll hear a little bit more about a little bit later. So do some other things. Don't just, if you're retired, figure out what you can do to earn income while you're retired. I'm going to say something that's going to shock a lot of people. I wish I had the verse. It just popped in my head. The verse didn't. The point about it did. There is no place in Scripture for retirement. 0. God makes no provision for hitting a certain age and then kicking back and watching reruns of The Simpsons or something. Whatever. American Picker. I'm not saying anything bad about those programs. You have your entertainment, your light moments. But none of us are called to unemployment. None of us are called to retirement. Now, I realize there are those who physically are not able. Totally different story. But you better figure out what else you can do and start training. You know what something somebody can do? So here's something some person could do as a retired person that no longer wants to be retired. You've got skills I don't have dealing with tools and building stuff and fixing things. You know what? Home Depot and Lowe's are desperate need of people who actually know something about what they're selling. And then you go apply and work. Maybe it's part-time in the tool department. Maybe you're an avid gardener, a semi-retired farmer. We'll go to work in their nursery department. You got stuff that needs to be passed on. Cultivate these other sources of income. You may need it far more than you think. So, in other words, going forward, it could be the world of the side hustle. All right. Number three, here's where I have, I generally agree with her. We talked about it last week about reducing your debt. And I'm just going to quote her. She said, debt's easy to acquire, yes, and so difficult to shed. True. Start a written budget. Couldn't agree more. It's important to know how much you're bringing in, how much is going out. Only by having it in the black and white can you fully assess your financial situation and take the next step to whittling down what you owe. I get that. And you want to be in the black. You don't want to be in the red. Black is good, red bad. I'm going to throw out something here. I'm not suggesting that you take on more debt. But I'm going to share something here that the real issue with debt is actually twofold. More than what people can pay back. And if that's the case, you've got to cut back on your wants, which is actually one of the things that's in here. Cut back on. You got to want less. Lighter vacations. Maybe a used car instead of a new car. Just start living within your means. That debt. There are some people who would say when the United States collapses, and it will, that's a fact, and I'm going to prove it in a minute, financially, that you want to have a lot of debt because you will have acquired things which will not be repossessed, and the debt is going to have to be released and absolved, or else there's going to have to be basically a national jubilee, though not based on Scripture, where all the debts are released because the debt can't be paid. And I'd hate to think that people who have actually taken their debt down, maybe gotten out of debt, they owe no man anything but love, as Scripture says, end up paying the price for all the people who have gone into ridiculous debt and now are expecting to be relieved of it, like the college student loans. If I were a boss, I wouldn't hire any student that had their debt released by Joe Biden. Nope, sorry. There is in my head a case to be made for low interest debt. The key is it less than what is what you owe on a monthly basis, less than what you can reasonably and relatively easily afford by what you make and by your savings. I mean, I use debt to make money personally. It's helped in some cases. I don't want to be saddled with it. Scripture says, however, the borrower is servant of the lender. So keep in mind, whenever you owe somebody something, you're not in charge. The lender is. That's why you have to have the means by which to eliminate the debt if need be. Use it as a tool if you're using it. But I'm going to go to the number two reason why debt is a problem, and it is a concern of monumental proportions. I prayed before this program. I said, God, what is that scripture? Or not scripture, but that passage stated by one of our founding, our forefathers about debt. And he gave it to me. It was John Adams. And I looked it up, and John Adams said that there are two ways to conquer and enslave a nation. One is by the sword. The other is by debt. Our national debt now exceeds $35 trillion. Want to do some math? I mentioned this once before, but it bears repeating because our national debt's worse than it was 3 or 4 weeks ago when I talked about it. You divide the national debt by our population, every man, woman, and child, every 98-year-old, every one-day-old infant, to pay off the national debt, of course, including everybody in between, have to write a check for $100,000. Family of four, $400,000. Family of six, $600,000. So where do you go to get that? Well, you maybe don't have it. Maybe you do. Maybe you have to sell your stocks. Maybe you have to sell your home. Maybe they take your IRA assets, confiscate them to pay off the national debt. We are up to our eyeballs in hot water in this thing. And guess what? When you're up to your eyeballs in water, that means your nose and your mouth are below water and you can't breathe anymore. You see, when you're up to your eyeballs, it's over. It's already over. I do not see a way out of this unless you simply can fire Congress, unless we have a president that will veto every spending bill there is. Hardship, riots, who cares? Take the national debt from $35 trillion down to $30 trillion. Now everybody only owes $80,000. But make some progress on the national debt, much like you'd make progress on your own personal debt in your plan to get out of debt. Very, very important. Next was getting lean. We talked about that. I don't want to spend much time on it. Reducing your expenses. That's pretty easy to see. You know, I'm all right. I've got, because I do so much, I actually have somebody that helps me with yard work. But I'm thinking about only using them half the time. And how, what do? If I go out there, all right, I can sweat bullets as well as anybody. I can do some of the work and trimming trees and stuff like that. Actually, I like to do it. I just don't have a lot of time for it. And it'll reduce an expense by what, $150 a month? Okay. I'll take that $150 because, you know, to pay $150, I got to make about $225 after paying my FICA and income tax. So keep this in mind. Every expense you reduce your expenses by $300. You say, oh, I've saved $300. No, you haven't. You've saved more than that because to pay the $300 that you're not spending anymore, but if you were to continue to pay that $300 for those expenses, you have to go out and earn $400 or $4.25 or whatever, depending on your tax bracket and your Social Security expense, your FICA that you have to pay. So keep that in mind. Every dollar you think that you're saving, you're actually saving about $1.30. $1.35. Now, that should be an eye-opener. That is something I don't think you've ever heard on Dave Ramsey. You know, God bless him, but I don't think he talks about that one. The next one, which was number five, I love this one, investing in tangibles. I was at a meeting with a banker this morning, and I said, you know what? We were talking about this, the economics and things and so forth, economy and so forth a bit. And I said, you know what I really like? She said, what's that? I said, I like your desk. And she didn't really care for it. I said, well, I mean, not for myself, but I like it because it's tangible. It's real. It's why I like a washing machine and a dryer and a dishwasher and a car and a chainsaw and guns and land and dirt and timber and precious metals to a limited degree. They are all real. There's nothing virtual about dirt or timber or farmland or gold, silver, copper, and all the durable goods that when you can't afford to buy them or they aren't available anymore, whatever, and yours are working, I'll tell you, that's when you'll learn a new trade. You'll be going on YouTube to figure out how to fix your dryer. Number six, Patrice says to want less. I butchered this quote last week, and I'm going to say it again. She said, there's an old story that goes something like this. A rich man saw a poor man eating a bowl of lentils. The rich man said, if you learned a toady, suck up, basically. If you learned a toady to the king, you wouldn't have to eat lentils. The poor man replied, if you learned to eat lentils, you wouldn't have to toady to the king. Eating lentils, both figuratively and literally, is a wise strategy. Fortunately, I love lentils. I really do. Number seven, she said, club up. This is important because you want to get around people that you trust, know, like. Doesn't mean your ministry's all done, but you got to have some people that you can trust. Never before in the United States than right now have there been more people moving to get away from people they don't like. Those are the good people leaving California. Some people leave California for the wrong reasons. They go to other states like Arizona, and they bring their leftist claptrap with them and vote the same way, not realizing that they brought the stink with them that they created in California, which produced the environment from which they wanted to escape. But they're the minority. Their people are moving all over the place to get away from places they don't want to be because they don't want to be around those kind of people. Number eight, she said, cultivate faith. And she says, for people who are reading this article, faith is probably already an integral part of your life. Faith carries people through astounding, difficult times. If you don't already have it, cultivate it. This is weak because it's number eight. It actually should be number one. You need to know the word. The word is your sword. It absolutely is a sword. Used for defense and offense. Know the word. When I get done in Revelation, I turn right around and start with Genesis. I try reading it a little different ways and try to get the most out of it, but I keep going through it. Learn it, so that whenever I'm out on the street, wherever I'm speaking and somebody says something kind of ridiculous, I don't have to say, well, you know, that's my faith, or that's how I was raised, or that's what my mom and dad taught me. I just quote the word of God. If they get all twisted in their underwear, that is their problem. Not mine. Know the word of God. Spend time with God. Worship him and honor him. Spend time. It says, in 1 Samuel, if we honor him, he'll honor us. We put him first, he'll put us first. Okay. I think you know that from me and from this program if you've listened to any period of time. Number nine, this is the one I've added, diversify. Solomon said, you know, to know the state of your flocks, but to divide basically your assets into six, if not seven, categories, for who knows what disaster shall come upon the earth. Solomon did not say if a disaster comes on the earth. He said, who knows what disaster shall come upon the earth. So you do want to diversify. And yeah, you do have some cash. I realize that's an intangible. Maybe you have some stocks and some bonds. Those are intangible. It's paper. But then you also want to diversify however you can in real estate holdings or part of a real estate holding in some fashion, maybe with a gold and a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver. You don't have to store it up where thief will break in, as Scripture says, but have some of it. Diversify. I like to diversify geographically. I raised this point earlier. One of the states I love is Oklahoma. Yesterday, I bought the tiniest piece of the state of Oklahoma that could make it onto a deed, but I bought it because I want a little piece of that state and to diversify. And when there's secession and the states leave the union and Oklahoma will have one, they got to take me in because I own some property there, right? I mean, and I love the state. I got relatives there. It's one of the most God-fearing states in the United States. I think Oklahoma and West Virginia, the only two states where every single county votes red. Number 10, which is definitely not number 10, that Patrice Lewis left off, and that was as far as preparing. I've said it before, ad nauseum. I'm a broken record, but here it goes again. Guns and ammo. Guns and ammo. Don't just get a little pea shooter. You got a little five-shot 38 snub-nose something. Well, that's okay. Got to start somewhere. I think everybody ought to have four guns. Minimum, four guns. And, well, I better say this before I forget. When you get this, don't tell anybody you got it. You get them legally. I'm not talking about breaking the law, certainly not yet until they turn the Constitution on its head, and we'll just have to do what we got to do. But you need four guns, in my opinion. Now, or somebody in the household ought to have them. A very good, powerful rifle, a good shotgun, a semi-automatic pistol, and a revolver. Those four. And you have the ammo. You learn how to use them safely. You learn how to clean them. You learn how to follow the rules, maintaining them, so that you do everything right. You buy it legally. You maintain it. You train to use it properly. And then you actually do use it properly. Now, in addition to not telling anybody that you've got them, what you got, there's no need to. I mean, some of our children aren't trustworthy. Mine are, but I know a lot of people's aren't. The other thing is, and this is so ridiculously important, I can't stress it enough, don't buy a doggone thing with a credit card in the gun and ammo department. You pay cash for everything, even if you have to walk down and pay more than for what you could get it for online. I'm serious. I mean, I know there are online gun and ammo retailers. I don't like them only from the standpoint that you're forced to use a credit card. A credit card can get tracked. Okay? Next thing, why are we going down? Listen to this piece. I'm going to finish with this. Erwin Chemerinsky, he is the notable dean of the Berkeley Law School. He's written a book. You ready for this book? No Democracy Lasts Forever, How the Constitution Threatens the United States. You see, this guy's a left-wing hack. Oh, he's highly regarded, but that doesn't mean he's not a hack. He's a left-wing hack. Who, interestingly, said it's time to, in this book, says we need to scrap the Constitution. Now, I'm wondering how the kids in the law school and all the gazillions of lawyers out there like I am saying, let's scrap the Constitution. Let's scrap the thing which we actually use day to day. Let's just sort of get rid of everything that you've been using in your law practice so now you don't know what to do. I don't know how that's going to go over, but just scrap it. He argues that the Constitution has become a threat to American democracy. Well, here's the deal. Erwin, who apparently wouldn't recognize a constitution in a law school library. Erwin, baby, we are not a democracy. This is your first problem. No, he's right. No democracy does last forever because democracies are, in essence, mob rule. It's just the majority rules, irrespective of a constitution. It's why the left wants a popular vote and get rid of the Electoral College so that they can have all the bogus and fake votes in California help force an election of a Democrat president without the restrictions of the Electoral College, which were there and designed to prevent one state overpowering the others, which is worse now with the possibility of all the excessive voter fraud and the illegals voting. He doesn't even know what we were formed upon. He said this has got to be dramatically changed and replaced if what? Secession is to be avoided. Isn't that interesting? He said, if we don't hurry up and scrap the Constitution, and what's going to replace it? Some left-wing rag. If we don't hurry up and scrap the Constitution, there's only one result, which may lead to the other. And he said, that's the secession of states. States will get up and leave. And he thinks it'll probably be California will leave if Trump gets elected, and it'll be Texas that leaves, and Oklahoma and Kentucky and Tennessee, and maybe Kansas, but South Dakota and North Dakota and Wyoming, and maybe Arizona, but Missouri and Arkansas and Mississippi and Louisiana and Florida and West Virginia and South Carolina, if Harris wins. He says it's got to be scrapped. Well, the fact of the matter is, if it's scrapped, it's over. And I think it's over if it isn't scrapped. Because the left has scrapped it. The left wants to pack the Supreme Court because they aren't getting the decisions they like queer marriage and abortion. The Supreme Court there is only there to ratify legally what the left wants. The minute that they actually read the Constitution and interpret it accordingly, then they consider the Supreme Court rogue, and we got to get rid of them, and we got to pack them, and we got to overrule this. Here's the thing. Jesus said that a nation divided against itself cannot stand. And people say, well, if we have secession, we can't stand. I'm here to tell you, we're already divided. It's already divided. A formal division is a pure documentation-based event. It just formalizes that which is already occurring. Heed the warnings. Heed what we've talked about as far as what you need to do to be prepared. Know the word, diversify, guns, ammo. You just simply have to be ready. I do not know what's coming when. I do know what's coming. I just don't know when it's coming. And you need to be prepared. The Lord said, the prudent man sees the danger ahead and hides himself, prepares. You do that too. Sit tall in the saddle. We'll see you next week.